cooking with the grease and the fires and the gasoline, folks. Keeping it hot to trot. God damn hot to trot. Josh Ricardo, Slam Pick Podcast here. Cool show today. Very cool show. I get to have on an attractive comic, funny comic. Goes by the name of Walker Hayes. Walker Hayes is the name. What a cool name. It's like a, I don't know, Walker Hayes. Before we get to Walker, let's do an email real quick. Email. Which one do I want to read? Okay. This is from Tina. Tina is from Cincinnati, Ohio. And Tina saw me at a club called Gone Bananas, I believe, back in 2007. And she says, hey, I came across your podcast. I saw you 2007, Gone Bananas, with my husband. We're divorced now, but you're still doing your thing. Congrats. Okay. That was a weird way of throwing in some awful news about yourself. But hey, Tina, send a photo along next time, all right? Let's see what you look like. Maybe I'll hook you up. Maybe I'll do some spanking on you. Who knows? I like to spank it. Anyways, thanks, Tina, for writing the email. You guys can always email slampigpig. Something's fucking going on with me today, man. I've done too many of these fucking shows. You can email slampigpodcast@gmail.com, and I will read your email. Now, Walker Hayes, like I says, is a, Walker Hayes, like I said, is very beautiful, very outspoken, holds no punches. I mean, I've never met her before, and which is kind of the story for everybody. I don't know if I just don't know anybody, or I just literally sit in this fucking apartment all day, but probably a little bit of both. But hit her up. Decided to have her on. She was really game for it, which was awesome. Did this thing. She was so interesting and different and has a business background, so she almost has a business way about her. But also, like I said before, really lets it fly and isn't scared to kind of get her hands dirty. That being said, I really enjoyed Walker, and I think you will too. Check it out. So I'm the luckiest guy ever. I tell people that all the time, but I make my own luck, as Billy Zane does in the movie Titanic. And today is no exception to the other days I say I'm lucky, because I'm lucky to have a comedian. Isn't that funny how they use it? Walker Hayes, say hello to everybody. Walker.
Hello, how's everybody doing?
Do you like the phrase comedian? Or is that now a new feminist move to get rid of that word?
I mean, to be honest with you, I never say I'm a comedian. I get why it's a thing, but I never use it. I don't care at all.
So are you a feminist?
No.
Okay, so just to give everybody some context, everybody, obviously, if you listen to the show, you know that I have a lot of women on.
Yes.
And most time I have attractive women on that are like Instagram models and stuff, because I think the dynamic of the show is great when you get to talk to people about how they get treated for how they look, and then you actually get to hear them talk. Now, granted, not in this particular situation, because you're a comic, so you're paid to talk, so I'm sure you know how to express yourself, but a lot of people that come on the show don't really ever have a need to talk. So they get to really, sometimes it works out for them where they're really great.
Benefit,
And then other times it doesn't work out for them where they're actually running their mouths and saying crazy shit.
Right.
So it's a win-win for me, but not always a win-win for the guest.
Yeah.
But all in all, it makes people look in the mirror. So with you, are you a former model?
I still do modeling. I mean, I do mostly print, because, you know, modeling per se, like when you think of runway and whatnot, which I never did. I did a show here or there, but I'm 5'8", and that's pretty short for a runway.
Oh, it is.
For a runway model, that's pretty short. Okay. So 5'9 and up is really what they're looking for, unless you're really interesting and exotic and doesn't get any more white than me.
Yeah, like a gap tooth and a shaved head.
Yeah. If you have something super bizarre that they,
can
turn into beauty,
sure.
Blah, 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 you know, then they will. But no, I mean, I'm a pretty straightforward chick. I'm happy and I feel pretty good about it. But yeah, nobody's like stopping around the street like, well, where are you from? You're so darn interesting looking. Yeah.
So for everybody at home, this is the first time I've ever met you in person.
Yeah.
Which is odd, because we're both around a lot. Mm-hmm. But I saw Walker through maybe another friend's something or other. It's a small community. And I thought, oh, she is a comic. And also, I think I saw a couple of your things and who you hang out with. And it looked like you did some modeling, too. And that's interesting. It's kind of like both worlds clashing together. And we can talk about that.
Yeah.
So that's a big reason why I wanted to have Walker on. And now she's here.
And
so it's so exciting, right?
goodness, you just willed it into the universe. I am. God. There's nothing I wanted to do more than come to Queens on a rainy
Friday.
It's
Astoria. It's Astoria, though. Come on. You say no, Queens like I'm in South Jamaica or something. Come on.
No, it's good. It's
this
good.
This is the dungeon. It's beautiful.
Oh, Queens is beautiful. Hey, if it was good enough for Eddie Murphy, it's good
exactly.
enough for me.
Exactly. That's deep Queens. That's like Long Island
that was,
Queens.
That was, yes.
That's brutalness.
No, listen. Oh,
for Coming to America, you
that's
mean.
Right.
Yes,
and I used to live, no disrespect, because I used to live in Bayside. So
this ain't Bayside, though.
I know, but I'm saying I used to not be in the thick of it.
I actually reversed. I lived in the East Village for years and years and years, and then was paying like, you know, people from New York. Everyone says this in New York, but maybe people who listen in other parts of the country don't know this. But the fucking rent is awful, and you don't get anything for it.
Right.
So I was living in a building that was all redone, the mm-hmm. apartment, but I was paying like $3,000
yeah.
for a closet.
Yeah.
Not great.
Yeah.
And I moved here. Now it's like a brand. So I'm the only guy to ever live in this apartment that I'm in.
Oh,
right
that's
now.
Great. No,
it's
yeah.
thing of beauty.
No, and honestly, I mean, for me, I just wanted to
Look
be.
How pretentious Walker is I'm about where she lives now.
Yeah, I mean, I just need a doorman and a, you know, and a livery cab waiting on sign for me at all times. No, I just really love the hood that I'm in. I'm on the Lower East Side, mm-hmm. so it's super accessible to everything, especially, like, comics will tell you, like, bouncing show to show to show, and I travel a ton. I'm on the road quite a bit. I appreciate coming home to my little enclave and having, like, easy
sure.
access to everything. So it's a great neighborhood. It's really vibrant, and I'm close to everything.
So how long have you been doing stand-up?
I've been doing stand-up for 5.5 years.
5.5 years.
Yeah.
And you started modeling
when
as
I was
a young woman,
yeah,
I assume.
Yeah, when I was a kid. Yeah.
You're like
yeah.
a – where are you from? You look like a white bread, like Midwest type woman.
I get that a
like
lot.
Like a Connecticut type maybe. That's not Midwest, but you know what I mean. Kind of going all over the white bread
I mean, it's not,
spectrum.
It's not New York, so everything that's not New York is whatever. I know how you guys think. But I'm from Baltimore, actually. So,
ah, so you're yeah. a Bal- – do you like the show The Wire?
I love The Wire, of
Isn't
course.
That, so it's great. I do a lot of gigs in Baltimore, and what's great about Baltimore is that you have – you have blocks. They're so beautiful, especially near the what the water. What's that?
Well, that's like down by Fells Point.
Yeah, yeah. Like the, and then you go to another block, and you're like, it's The Wire, and it's
it is,
very
yeah.
weird how it does that.
Yeah, that's very accurate. And The Wire was such a great show and so well written. And the only bad thing about it then is that that's like the national perception of the entire city. Because when you think about it, The Wire was preceded by Homicide. There's mm-hmm. no shows about the suburbs of Baltimore ever,
yeah.
which makes sense. It's mm-hmm. not a large place. But so it's always focused on that. So when you say that's where you're from, that is the immediate impression
sure,
people
sure.
have. And it's like, oh, yeah.
I've been to Hagerstown. I mean, I've been all over Maryland.
Yeah, so no, most people don't have your well-traveled mind. Now, Hagerstown is interesting. Actually, you know, Judah Friedlander is from Frederick.
Okay.
I think.
Are you, what suburb of Baltimore are you
maybe
from?
He's from Hagerstown. Wow, am I
yeah,
right
I've
about that?
Hagerstown's an interesting place.
Yeah, so for those that don't know, and why would you, it's like far western. It's western Maryland, and it's like, yeah, night and day. So Baltimore mm-hmm. would be like our epicenter, I guess. And then Hagerstown would be like, you know, where kids are legit tipping cows and trying to.
And they have their own yeah. accent in Hagerstown.
You know, Maryland, I think, city to city, town to town.
It changes, right?
It really does.
The
yeah,
affliction is different in every little place.
If you've ever seen Hairspray where they do the Han and all that.
That's Baltimore.
That's Camden specifically. But yeah, I mean, it's pervasive like throughout the
What's
city.
The history of Baltimore real quick? Let's give our listeners a little lesson because I feel like you know a lot about where you're from.
I do.
What's like the genesis of you know, like Boston, everybody knows like the Declaration of Independence, all that shit. Baltimore's in that mix. It's
well, Baltimore, old. Yeah, old school and, you know, settled by Lloyd Baltimore,
sure,
which
sure.
is why it is what it is. I mean, the capital is Annapolis, but Baltimore is, like I said, kind of the epicenter mm-hmm. just because Annapolis a little further out and more
They
of
teach
water.
That shit in school for you guys?
Yeah.
You guys have a lot of pride. Because I'm from
yeah,
San
yeah.
Diego, and we're, like, prideful about dumb shit, like the beach and a taco. And
Well, we, you know, we all get lumped into that those first colonies, so that's cool.
Yeah, that's
Delaware
what I mean. Yeah, you're
state.
Early, yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, when you have that going for you, it's kind of a no-brainer. But, yeah, I mean, it's a harbor city. So it was one of the first.
She's settlements. A harbor chick, everybody.
That's right, harbor effect. I'm totally, you know, bonkers. I do nothing but travel all the time. Have severe wanderlust. No, it's a great place. I mean, it's very, it's good bang for your buck. It's a working class city, but it's also very like the nice parts of Baltimore are really nice, and the city's been really developed over the last like decade, 15 year. Like when I was a kid, nobody moved to the city. Like you went there to work and you went to the aquarium and things like that, but nobody moved there.
Okay.
You lived in the county. So Baltimore is a big entity. Baltimore City is its own thing. And then Baltimore in general would be county and property is like outlying. So kind of like Denver is like that too.
Yeah. Yeah. So my mom actually lives out there in bumfuck Colorado, like 2 hours above Denver. But that's another show. Is it a good growing upings there?
Yeah.
So forgive me for the first initial few minutes. I'm keeping it pretty general, but we'll get to more stuff. I'm interested to know like what kind of environment someone grows up in. Because I'm always interested in how someone who, I'm not claiming to know what you were like when you were a kid or how you looked, but I'm assuming if you started modeling at a very early age that it was probably pretty obvious that you were on a spectrum where you can actually do that. So it's hard to understand, like, because comedy is such a ruthless, awful thing. Like, I love stand-up. I'm trained in improv, and I'm an improv actor, but comedy is where I started. I like comedy more than improv because comedy isn't alone. It's desperate. It's dark. It's awful. Improv people are so happy. It's like the people who are comics had a great childhood. It's like a lot of them are happy-esque compared to the people I know. Like, I love gritty, dirtbag, struggling emotionally, like kind of, those kind of guys are guys I get along with, you know.
I'll agree with that 100%.
So how are you lumped in with that? Because New York comics are different than LA comics.
No, it's totally cool.
If you're from LA, I'd be like, oh, I get it. Like, you're an actress that decided, you know, I'm gonna play down being hot and be funny and have a 5 minute act to get on TV. Because a lot of people in LA do that.
I relocated here from LA.
Okay,
but I did both. I mean, I was bi-coastal for a minute. And I agree with that 100% because in L.A. it's really de rigueur to be a hot chick doing stand-up right now. It's sad to me. It's not sad to me if you put the effort in and you do the material, because just how I think you shouldn't be penalized for not being a beautiful person if a role is right for you and whatever. And I do think there's a shift now. Like I was telling you, in modeling specifically, there are girls now that are supermodels that would not have got a foot in the
door. What's Instagram? It's the glamour.
Not even Instagram, but legit models. There's I'm gonna botch her name. I want to say it's like Lindsay Wixon or Wix or something like that. Anyway, she's a redheaded model with enormous cheeks and a gap you could park a car in, you know, her front teeth. And she's just killing it because they've decided to expand on the idea of what's beautiful, which is great. But it's not a classic beauty by any stretch.
The trends aren't classic. That's what I'm saying. A decade ago,
she would not have been a runway model.
Like, big asses are in, which is crazy because now people can get the injections. That's another side note we'll have.
Yeah.
Being curvy is more in, and being like Miss CrossFit is in.
Sure.
So I feel like even now, like Victoria's Secret runway show, these women are by no means "quote unquote curvy."
Well, Victoria's Secret still kind of holds a typical standard for their women, which makes sense because lingerie is a specific medium, as is fit modeling and all of that. I mean, there's a body type that you need to wear that clothing, which is fine. But to tie that all together in LA, it's sort of like, as I said, I have no issue with anybody doing anything if they're going to put the work in.
Yeah, sure.
I do have issue with people getting really great stage time and gigs purely based on looks. I wouldn't want that for myself either, and here's why. You deprive the audience of a good experience when you do that, and then it brings down our whole gender. It's still incredibly misogynistic in this world. It absolutely is. And especially when I get asked to be on all female shows, and I'm a girl's girl, I love women. If you look at my Instagram, 90% of my life is hot chicks and comics, which is a great life. But I'm very women centric. I don't call myself a feminist. I don't like that term. But when I'm asked to be like on all female shows, that's an uphill battle. It is, because a lot of people do not expect women to be funny, or don't want women to be funny, or look at an attractive woman and assume that it's a favor that she's there.
Yeah.
And that's just, and we all do that. I mean, I'll admit I do it too. When I see a really, really pretty comic, I want more from her than I would want from the average chick. I just want her to, you know,
I want her to put the effort in. If you're really good looking, the amount of life's gifts, because I've dated women that get paid to look good, and then you go, like when you're actually seriously dating somebody like that, and then you get to see what's handed to them. All the shit that comes with it that's bad, it evens out a lot of the time with the shit they get.
I agree, 100%. Nothing irritates me more than the trend right now to be like, I'm a nerd. I was a nerd.
No, you're not.
I don't even care if you were.
Yeah, you're not a nerd.
I don't care if you were a nerd.
You're a nerd by choice.
It doesn't matter. You're a fucking fucking model or whatever.
I didn't choose that shit, all right?
The one that really fucking irks me to pieces is that chick from Daily Show. Now she's on everything.
The one who's taking a selfie on the promo?
No,
the
one that dates Aaron Rodgers. What is that chick's name? I'm blanking like
Olivia
crazy.
Wilde?
Yes. Olivia no, not Munn. Olivia Wilde.
Munn.
Yes.
You hate
and
her.
And she's the one that's always, I don't care.
Yeah.
I don't care. You make a shitload of money. You date athletes. Your life is fine. Yeah. Your life is totally fine. Like, listen, I don't at all mean to take away from what people go through as kids or whatever, but she's not saying I was abused as a child. She's saying I was a nerd. I don't fucking care.
But she's saying it for sympathy?
I don't care. No,
well,
I just think,
what would the word be for that when you keep telling everybody that, hey guys, I'm really hot,
but I'm a nerd. Right, no,
I love video games.
That's the piece that I hate. Listen, if you are, in fact, like, into really dorky, crazy shit, that's fine. But even still, like, don't use it as a neutralizer, as a normalizing thing, right? That's like, you know, supermodels that date the ugliest possible rockers they can.
Well, like, Shawn White was banging Bar Raffelli, that was
like, whatever.
Awfulness.
Where they're like, no, see, I'm
but it was score for him, though. I was
look,
into it.
I'm one of you, because I date ugly people. It's like, no, you're still not. Models are models. They're not averages. They're models.
They don't patronize me, models.
They are models, so they are a thing. And listen, I'm not on that spectrum either. Like, I just happen to be cute enough to do some stuff and get into
they'll see your picture. They're going to look you up.
Yeah. So I don't pretend I'm on that level. I'm just saying, you know what? Just take a compliment. Be cool with it.
Yeah, yeah.
I talk a lot about this on stage because don't apologize for anything. Don't apologize for
being
pretty.
Do you dumb it down on stage clothes-wise and looks-wise?
I do not.
You know how some people do that? Like, I've heard that when, like, maybe 5-6 years ago, I remember female comics talking to me about how, yeah, when I go on, if they look remotely... This is before where a lot of the female comics that are out now are actually very attractive. A lot of women that know of are attractive.
I think there's lots of really beautiful women on the scene now, for sure.
But to be taken seriously, the hand quote thing, they would say, oh, yeah, I wear, you know, a baggier shirt or a baggier pair of pants, or I don't wear makeup. Like, I don't feel like that's necessary if your voice is what it should be. If you're working, like you said.
Yeah, I don't do that at all. I won't say never. For example, like, if you're on the road and you're doing a blue-collar room, yeah, don't wear a little
pearls,
black dress.
Unless that's your character.
Yeah. I mean, just to – and any smart comic will tell you. I mean, you should be tailored sort of to whatever. But we're in New York, right? Mm-hmm. In general, people are a little bit more dressed up and what have you. So
fashionable
no,
city.
I'm not, like, donning flannels for the fuck of it. If that's the outfit I have on – And it is what it is. But
no conscious effort unless you're doing a place
do
where
that.
You think this is not dress appropriate.
Yeah, I think I try
it's
to
just
dress.
Common sense with you. Okay.
That's just life. But no, yeah. I'm not gonna wear glasses I don't need. I'm not gonna wear Chuck Taylors. I think they're heinous. I don't know why women wear them.
Mm-hmm.
If that's your thing, cool. But no, I don't. No.
Yeah, you're gonna do what you do, and
no.
That's it. Yeah,
and
it has to be about your voice.
I never call myself a nerd. I don't do that because I'm not.
Yeah, you don't relate.
I'm just not. And here's the thing:
you're probably nerdy about things,
sure,
but that doesn't mean you're a nerd.
But I mean, to be honest with you, a very big piece of my fan base is pretty women. So I don't think that you need to go the other way with it.
Mm-hmm.
But you need to appeal to who people are as people, right? So I address that, not always, but I will address. The idea that women don't want women to succeed, it's one of the jokes that I tell, and it usually gets women on board right away because they're like, yeah, that's actually exactly what I was just thinking.
Well, that women hate other women, that's like a...
Well, not even that we hate
time
each
immemorial,
other, but,
right?
You know, it is a thing where, you know, and it's been said that, like, guys in general have a camaraderie about them, and women in general have a competition about them. And I think that's a thing because it is so look-based. And there's nothing you can do about that except to visually judge another person, right? So we're not in it to be – I am not this way, but I get that that's our psychology.
Yeah.
So when I am in a room, you know, with a bunch of beautiful women, I'm like, cool, I can't wait to go befriend these beautiful women. That's my mindset, but
that's
it's
my
not –
my mindset as well when
but
I
it's not the norm, and I get that. If people were smarter, it would be because strategically – if you are, like, in fear of or feeling inferior to, you should befriend those people. It's just smart in general to have people around you that you quote-unquote see as better, more successful, more beautiful, more whatever.
Mm-hmm.
It makes you rise to that as opposed to surrounding yourself with the opposite.
I could pick them apart for the awfulness that they are, which I prefer that angle.
And listen, I'm not saying I never take a pretty chick and say, oh, she has the ugliest elbows I've ever seen. What a dirtbag.
Everybody down to size.
Yeah, we all do that.
Personally, emotionally, whatever I can do.
But I do that in general with people. I dislike people that are – you know, misanthropic people are just shitty bitches. If you're a bitchy girl,
yeah.
And I say, this is actually something I say a lot of the time. It came up last night. I'm known, like I said, for being a girl's girl. I come out the gate wanting to like women in general. I want to help them. I want to work with them. I want to have them on my shows. I want that.
Mm-hmm.
So I come at you wanting to like you. If I don't, there's a really good chance that's your fault.
Sure.
Very good chance.
No responsibility on your end.
Not saying never, but it's a really good chance because I don't.
You have a checklist you go through and if.
There's, but there are
Walker's
women.
Checking it, she's checking it twice. If you don't make it, it's a wrap. It's your fault.
But it actually is. Like, I will cut you out, and that'll be that. I'm not one to second guess myself. I will give everyone a second chance unless it's something really heinous. But then once that's extended, and this came up last night because there's one female comic. Comic is a very strong term for what this person is. But, and that shall remain nameless,
mm-hmm.
who runs a show. We had some problems, and she requested through a mutual friend of ours that we sit down and hash it out. And I said, okay, fine. I'm willing to do that.
Sit down.
Came to the table and I said, listen, I'll be perfectly honest with you. You drag down this game. You don't put effort in. Your sets are terrible. I've seen you at shows with 10 of your own friends not get a laugh. You drag an entire show down and then you drag down our gender and our whole thing by not putting the effort in. So listen, do whatever you like. I'll be supportive, but you have to put the effort in. If you're going to keep associating yourself with my people and my friends...
Well, let me ask you a question. You've been doing it 5 years. There's people out there who have been doing it 20.
Oh, for sure.
What gives you... And this is not a pick on you, but what gives you that placement to tell this person that in general? Where do you feel like you have the right to
purely
be the foremost authority on
purely
comedy?
Purely because it's a work thing where we are working with the same people on the same thing. So we get lumped into the same group. No, I'm not at all.
She's associated with you on a business level?
Sort of, yeah.
Okay, all right.
Enough so that it bothered me.
Okay.
That I was like, I don't like that she is a part of our thing because I don't like the work ethic.
Okay, I think I understand a little bit more now what you're talking about. Okay.
And so,
I thought you were just coming to this person as I'm on shows with you a lot and you suck.
No.
I'm telling you.
If somebody requested my feedback, I would absolutely give it to them. But I don't give
people... And you're pretty opinionated and you have but you feel you have the right to give feedback about comedy 5 years in.
If people asked for it, I absolutely would. But I think that's good in general because you should be... If anything, like your
opinion...
It's a
more open dialogue with
you. Your opinion would matter to me as much as somebody that was in it for 20 years. And here's why. It's super subjective.
Mm-hmm.
This isn't... You could say you can master it. You sort of can. But it's very subjective. So there's very famous comics that have been in this game forever that are making money that other comics are like, that guy is a hack and a half. And those are comics that have been at it forever. And that's why. Because it's like... It's any art form... You come at it from different sides.
Mm-hmm.
So there can be a dude that gets up there and tells dick and fart jokes all day and middle America just goes ape shit over it and you take it to Washington, D.C. and the room is radio silent.
Yeah, but I don't want to deal with anybody that doesn't have the same sensibilities as me. And I agree with you. It's a subjective. People like what they like. And for the most part, people have terrible taste. That's just my opinion on what comedy is in general because we're dealing with a whole bunch of people that isn't New York, L.A., Chicago, Baltimore, whatever. So if I was going to ask somebody's feedback on me, I'd have to make sure like they're good. I mean, they would be good to me. Not it'd be specific to me because I don't want to hear about anybody's shit or hear their criticism or what they think would work unless I truly respect what they do. So I would never want to hear anybody's opinion about.
Well,
let me
put it in stronger parameters. So again, we're lumped together sort of by association, and she's an even newer comic. I would say she's not even a year in.
Yeah.
And so it's meant to be. A critique of, hey, this is what I see. I see you repeatedly coming to the
mic.
This
is what the sit-down is about.
Right.
Right, okay.
I see you repeatedly coming to the mic and kind of just talking about your day, and there's no – it's not a worked-out set. It's not tied together. Stop doing that because there are people that can do that, and you are not one of them. So stop doing that, and I will have more respect for you as a person. Listen, there's plenty of people that probably don't think I'm funny and whatever, so it isn't about that because, listen – I put people on shows that I don't find funny, but other people do. That's what matters.
Yeah.
If I'm producing a show, I don't fucking care if I think.
No, your job is to put the best show out there.
Listen,
no,
if everyone was losing their mind right now about, you know, a piano player that had a jazz trio with him, great. Not my scene. But if I could book that guy and fill a room all day, you know, it's not. It's an egoless thing. It really is. So that's kind of the take on it. But
this is why comedy is a whore. Just for a sidebar for everybody before you jump into the next topic about it. Comedy is a whore, which always made me in the 10 years I've been doing it. It's allowed the last 2 years to be a lot more carefree in the sense that I remember one time I almost lost a gig, a featuring gig, like 7 years ago, to a guy on the Real World who's done comedy twice.
Right.
It's all about who you can put in the seats, and you're saying from a
Absolutely.
Producer level, you're going to throw
it totally
whatever.
Is.
So I don't. It's comedy is amazing and shitty all at the same time.
It's show
and
business.
That's what
though.
This is.
Yeah.
It's
show business. It's like anything else. So that being the case, and just to kind of like put a pretty bow on that, we shake hands. She's like, "Cool, thank you for the whatever." And I said, "Listen,
what was her feedback for you?"
She just
because I'm sure
like,
she came at you after you dropped that, right?
I'll be honest. I don't do this often, but I came at her swinging because, which is how the whole thing got started. Because she said something that I strongly disagreed with, that kind of framed me as not as good a friend to someone that we share as a friend.
Sounds like very ultra personal.
It was very
like,
personal. And so
there.
I said, I want to make this very clear. That is one of my best friends. I don't appreciate it. And here's the thing. If you want to know why I have no love lost for you, it's that. If you were a good comic and you were working hard, I would have less to say.
Mm-hmm.
I don't see that in you. And so therefore, adding on to that, you dissing me and my work ethic or how I am with somebody is just wrong. You mm-hmm. don't know me and you don't know, like, I work really, really hard. I think I have a decent reputation in the industry for being a hard worker.
Mm-hmm.
As to whether or not people find me funny, secondary to, I at least want people to say,
she works her ass
I hustle
yeah.
my mm-hmm. face off and I do.
Yeah.
But we, you know, after all that, and it's like, thank you so much. All right, cool. We're cool. I'm like, we're cool. Now we're cool. Listen, do what you will. And I've said my thing and life goes on. Yeah. Great. Everything's lovely. Now I see this person all over and over and she's stone fucking cold to me.
Of course.
And I'm just like, hey.
Let me ask you a question.
I didn't care about this. You did.
That's what I'm saying. As a female, I deal with this a lot being male because these are conversations I have with women. But I'm having them most of the time in a dating capacity,
yeah.
if you will. And it sounds like you can relate to this maybe because you just kind of went through something similar as being a direct man. I being a direct person as a man in relationships, I get the, oh, we are totally cool, then the stone cold. Is
right.
it? Do you think it's because that woman went home and harbored instead of – I feel like you left it on the table like you just said, right? It was done. And then you went home and you probably never really thought about it that much. You're just doing your thing.
Yeah.
Do you think that person went home and probably harbored everything you said, put it under magnifying glass? He's like, hey, this is bullshit. This is too much. I can't believe she said this. And then it built. And now when she sees you, she sees those words.
I couldn't say, but what I do feel.
What else could it be, though, if she's not talking
to you? When I run into her, I feel like we're right back where we were. And now we are. Because now I'm like, I now fully dislike
yeah,
you.
Yeah, now there is
because
no
Because as
hope.
I said, I gave, that shot was there.
For stability.
So if she had been, you know, and I'm not saying be my best friend, give me a kiss on the cheek. Be polite.
No,
say
but you
hi.
Gotta work with her. That's
she
the
legit
problem.
Came to a show of mine. And acted like she didn't know who I was for like 10 minutes. And then she's like, oh, Walker. Oh, my God. I didn't even. I was like, yeah, you did. Listen, I don't care how
did you say to her, I'm 5'8". I'm a model, bitch. You know who I am. I walk in the room. Everyone knows me.
It was my show. A fucking course. It's me. What are you talking about? You didn't.
It was the Walker Hayes show. And she acted like she pulled a Yoko.
Yeah. Anyway, now, as I said, I bring this up because it's fresh. It happened yesterday that I ran into her again. And again, someone comes up to me and says, I know you have beef with this person. And I said, I don't.
No.
There's zero beef, but I now dislike her. If you asked me, what do I think of her? I would say she's not my cup of tea.
Yeah.
And that's it. But I don't have the need to talk about it. I feel like whenever I see her, it gets reopened and somebody, and then I'm like, the only reason this other person is bringing this up is because she's bringing this
sure,
up.
Sure, it's high school.
I
comedy
have other
is high
shit
school.
Going
people,
on.
They gossip so much.
But that's the one person in the game that I would say I, and it's not a big enough deal to be a thing, but because I just saw her, it's fresh on my mind.
Yeah.
Otherwise, you know, women in general, like, I want us to succeed. I think we need each other to do that. I think if we kind of flipped the script and stopped doing the, oh, me versus you, and we were more of a camaraderie and more of a us against the world, we would get farther. I really do believe that. So
you,
I try to do that as much as I can. Now, within reason. I don't want to give out favors to give out favors because it is, you know, it's a business at the end of the day.
Mm-hmm.
So, again, you need to be putting in the work. I need to see that you're hustling.
So a part of your career is also putting together shows.
Yeah.
So this is why you talk from a Because I notice when you talk from two places. You talk from the performer, and then you talk from somebody that actually has to deal with creating the lineup.
Right.
Okay. So now I understand kind of more the angle you're coming from. When you're talking about handing out favors, you actually do have favors to hand out.
I do.
Okay. And people reach out to you quite a bit.
Yes.
That so people out there that are listening to the show that have really no concept of what stand-up is. In New York, the scene, it's unlike any other scene. In my opinion, I've been around. It's the greatest comedy scene there is as far as getting things done and doing shows. And there's a lot of us here. I mean, I know in LA there's a lot of guys, but you guys get up once or twice a week. You think you're killing it. Out here, it's like minimum five, and you feel like you're not getting up enough.
Right.
That's what it's like here. So what I'm trying to tell you guys is what Walker deals with every day is probably just inundated with emails of, hey, I'm this person.
Yeah.
And then, hey, you know me. Then, hey, I'm your friend. So you literally, it must be exhausting. Just your inbox alone must be exhausting.
Yeah, so it's a thing. We have, you know.
How many shows are you promoting?
How many am I producing?
Producing.
So I'm partners with Ryan DeCalos, who is, he's known as Rye Daddy on the scene, and everybody knows him. So I help him run a good bit of his shows.
Okay.
But then I have my own show, which is Comedy on the High Line. That's a headliner show that we do at the Fillmore Room.
Mm-hmm.
So in January, we'll be back with that. That's Fridays. It's the last three Fridays in January. We'll be back doing that.
Mm-hmm.
It's a Friday night show. It's
we
fantastic.
Can plug it to at the end. I'm not trying to jump.
No, it's
here.
Fine.
Yeah, I'm just
but so that show in particular, because that's always a strong lineup. That's all people that are on TV now that have credits that are and that's the bar for the show. And then obviously I'll have like a guest or a barker for those who don't know, someone that helps us promote, sell tickets. Mm-hmm. I will throw 5 minutes too. But I'm pretty strict about that too.
Mm-hmm.
I don't use barkers that aren't good comics.
Yeah.
Unless they're just paid barkers and that's fine.
Because
then that doesn't have to do with stage time. So it is a lot of the bad thing about being in a community that's so packed with talent is exactly that. I have lots of good friends that are great comics that I can't work into certain lineups. So it is. It's always a balance. I want to use new people. I love using out-of-town comics because I think it's I would want that. I like when I'm in another town and someone says, hey, throw her some stage time. So I try to give priority when someone's rolling through town for 2 days.
It's a good bargaining chip for you, too. Especially being 5 years in, it must be great.
I've met amazing people on the road through that. Just being like, hey, listen, I would love to hit you back when you're in New York, whatever. Mm-hmm. I mean, and people want to get up here. Obviously, it's New York.
Yeah.
So it's good to be able to say that you actually do have access to shows and bookers and things and that people value your opinion.
Mm-hmm.
But they'll only value my opinion if I send them good talent. So there are people that, again, I believe in them and I know they're working hard, but they're not necessarily club caliber comics yet.
Okay.
On a Friday night.
Uh-huh.
Are they, a 6 o'clock slot bringer show? Absolutely, because that's where you're going to get better. I mean, mm-hmm. I did that too. We all did. I did my 3 minutes at the Laugh Factory, and I brought 10 friends that made me feel like I was the funniest fucking person on planet Earth. And you need that in the beginning.
Yeah.
But that's part of what it is. I think you have to be, I try to be a very fair person and be very democratic and tell people where I'm at with stuff, which is like, I adore you as a person. I will absolutely give you 5 minutes on something. It will probably not be this show. It might be this thing.
So
because I want
about,
them to know.
What's different about that for everybody at home and what you deal with consistently as a professional comedian is a booker won't, especially if you have some things going on, like I'm in kind of a purgatory of a career where I have some things going on, but the rooms that I'm going after now and the things I'm doing now travel-wise, some people just won't respond at all because they don't want to offend me in case something blows up and they don't want to miss out on being with me.
Yeah.
So sometimes I'll reach out to somebody, say this club, this other club that I was working with was like, they have another club and I said, I want to do this date. And I got zero for 4 months until something they saw came up with me and then they booked me.
Yeah.
And what's great about what Walker's talking about and I just want to point out is that she's saying that, you correct me if I'm wrong, I don't put words in your mouth. You're saying that when people are talking to you, you're really conscious about, hey, because you're on the performance side, I want to let them know where I stand with this.
I do.
So if you say you want time on my show, I'm going to tell you
not that
right
show.
Now. Yeah.
I really do try. I try to not bullshit people, and I do try to respond to
you enjoy
most
that part of comedy?
I do,
is
because
it it's just at this point a necessity, or would you continue to do it even if you didn't need to do it?
I think
if you're past at every club and working every weekend, would you want to keep doing what you're doing now?
Producing?
Producing.
I really do enjoy it. I mean, it's a pain in the ass.
Pain in the ass, yeah.
And it's a headache, but it is fun, and I like I mean, as does anybody, that's sort of, you created that. So if it's a successful show, that's a great feeling. And also just being able to give people time. I mean, I did a show, produced a show at Standing Room on Wednesday with a friend of mine, Luciana Gatica, who's also a comic. And it was fun to, a friend of ours came, you know, from very far to support as a comic. It was nice to say, hey man, I'm going to throw you,
like
I'm
going
to throw you
it.
5 minutes because thanks for coming out to Long Island City on a Wednesday. Yeah. And he was thrilled. He's like, that's so dope. Like, thank you so much, you know? And that's something I want to talk about because that I'm trying to kind of blend stand up with sketch and improv on that show a little bit. Just for the comics.
You're trying to do like a Herald?
No, not at all. Okay. But I think it's, you know, because as comics, I think a lot of times we get so, I do for sure. You want to do new stuff and you want to get creative and be loose, but then like so often it's like you'll go to a show and you're like, oh, but that's a really great comic that I don't want to see me fuck up. I'm going to do my tight 10. Oh, you know what? I think the manager might be watching.
There's always going to be somebody though.
So for me, I will get in my head and be like, no, don't do new shit. Don't do new shit. Don't do new shit. Don't do new shit. And then after a while I start getting bored with my own shit. So I created this concept to force all comics to do some form of new bit, and then it's like it's safe because we know everyone doesn't know what they're doing. So try it and riff about it and fuck with the audience, and maybe it'll go great and maybe it won't, but nobody's sitting there going, oh, he's not prepared or he's not a good comic, because that's not what this is. And if you kill it, that's awesome, but if it's whatever, people are like, oh, that's just not your thing.
So it's tailor-made to give the people the opportunity to,
To
be new without the give pressure comics of being a chance. New.
You never know when, and every comic will tell you like, oh, how great was it? There was a, you know, whoever in the audience, I started talking to her about her tits and then I got the best joke ever out of it. Didn't write it, didn't think about it. It happened in conversation. I think
it's writing at the mic. It's a great thing.
A lot
thing.
Of what we bring to the table is stories we talk about with friends or conversations where you said this thing and a friend just died laughing. You're like, oh, maybe that's a thing. Maybe that has legs. But a lot of times we don't, you know, we can take ourselves out. There are comics, and God bless them, I wish I was better disciplined that write every day. Sit down and they're like, even if I have nothing to talk about, I'll be like, candlesticks, go. And I think that's tremendous. I'm not like that. So for me, somebody, especially I like doing roasts, again, that forces me to focus on a person and their flaws and their whatever, and I'll get generic jokes out of it. Because I can tailor it to them and then pluck it out and be like, but it's a thing about society, whatever. So any opportunity, I think, to make people go outside the comfort zone but feel not responsible if it doesn't go well is great, which is what improv is anyway. So I've kind of blended that with this show. It's called the Fuck, Marry, Kill Show. And the audience tells you when you get to stage whether you're going to fuck, marry, or kill someone. And then you pluck a name out of a bucket. It's a well-known
celeb.
So if
you have to fuck them, what does that mean?
It's all based on you. So if you came to the stage, the audience might go, okay, kill someone. And you pull Taylor Swift out and tell us why you want to kill that bitch.
Okay, I get it now.
You know?
Okay, yeah.
Whatever. It could be you need to kill Mother Teresa and you have to justify that. Whatever. You get your bits out of that.
That's fun.
And then you do whatever. And before you leave stage, and then you get to work your regular material into it. We don't make you do the whole show about
So you just
whatever.
Up front you do whatever,
front,
a
you
couple
do
minutes
to
about
break
it.
You the ice and bullshit with
then
people.
Then you go into your act. I
then
like
you
that.
Do whatever you want. Or you can keep talking about it. You can do your whole set on that if you want. Before you leave, then you have to do one of the other two. So if you had to kill someone, then you have to fuck or marry someone in the audience or another comic that's there or that's already gone. So it's a frame of reference thing, and it's not, oh, I would, you know, I would fuck this, my neighbor, because people are like, well, we don't know that guy.
Yeah, of course.
So it's something that draws the audience in. But it's just an opportunity to play around and have fun and blend what you do with stuff that you probably don't do. And actually, several comics hit me the next day and were like, that was so much fun.
No,
like,
it sounds like a lot of fun.
I never would have done this or said this, and thank you for the opportunity
to
do that.
From a workout standpoint, that sounds pretty incredible.
Yeah, and the crowd was decent. I mean, you know, it's always good when you have a packed room, but sometimes the best shows are when you have like a dozen people in an audience that are captive. They want to give you their full attention. They want, you know, to have that going on. I've performed for pack rooms and watched comics that are great comics just not get the attention and not get the energy that they deserve from people. Just the same as I've done a show for, you know, 10 drunk, you know, schoolgirls on a Saturday afternoon, and they just like wandered in or got barked in off the street, and they want to have the best time ever, so they love everything and they're super warm and you can fuck with them and they think it's great. So it isn't necessarily about the volume, it's about the energy and the attention, and a good host will bring that to everyone's, you know, they'll say, hey, mm-hmm. you will get out of this what you give. So mm-hmm. if you're paying attention, your phone is off and you want to, it will be a good show. But if you're, you know, stone-faced and arms crossed and fuck everything, then...
Well, you don't speak English because the barker barked you in. You don't speak any English at all. You're coming to my fucking comedy show. Get the fuck out of here. Do you date comics? Do a lot of comics sit on you? I feel like comics... just because I've been around them since I was 21. All these guys hit on people when they feel like it's safe because they didn't hit on people before. It's a weird dynamic. When comics get good at comedy, never did they get pussy before. When they get at comedy, all of a sudden they have this like sense of confidence.
Yeah.
But even someone won't jump outside the box unless it's like, I know guys now, like I take a lot of guys on the road with me. They won't talk to girls unless they were from the show. And I'm like, how does this... I'm the reverse. I don't really want to be with anybody from my show. It's not really my thing, but...
You mean comics or audience members?
I don't want to be with audience members. I think I've slept with one comic in the years I've been doing stand-up. Sleeping with comics.
No, I definitely did for a while. My last two exes were both comics. Not from this scene.
Sure.
But I am of the mindset of no comics, no comics, no comics, no comics.
Yeah, it's hard to date someone like you.
I think, like anything else, there's... And it has very little to do with anything other than I think we all are
broken.
Somewhat damaged people. Yeah, we're damaged people. We're trying to figure life out. And so, as I mentioned to you early on in the show, the better course of life is to surround yourself with people that are in a better spot than you.
Yeah.
Not be struggling through the minutia someone who's like, oh my God, you booked that show. I haven't done anything in 30 weeks. Therefore, you are a succubus and I want you
even
dead.
Even a really successful comic, though, if you were to date them, you know they're broken.
Oh, absolutely. And success in comedy is super relative.
Yeah.
As you know, I mean, successful comics here are still, whatever. Far be it from me to like speculate on someone's income, but... They are hustling to make mm-hmm. that money. They are, you know, and we're all about.
What kind of money do you need, Walker, in your life to be with a man? What are you
I'm
trying to say?
I'm just saying, I would like someone else to know what they're doing.
Sure.
I would like us to have one.
Like
I want one income that we can depend on for sure. And I will go out and hustle my face off, but we can't depend on me.
Yeah,
for sure we can't. So it's, you know, it's just it's a strategy.
For everybody out there, Walker's not dependable. Just so you know, if that's something you get out of this today, it's that.
I'm horrible on paper. On paper, okay, I'll explain myself.
Yeah, what are you
paper.
On paper? Yeah,
all right, on paper, I make $100 a year.
Time out. Let's do this. Let's go from your stats. 5'8", C cup, deep voice.
Yeah, okay, perfect.
Sensual. Now, go with the rest. $100 a year.
Okay.
And go.
Yeah. On paper, I make like $100 a year.
Meanwhile, traveling, your Instagram's filled with Puerto Rico pictures. So,
right.
I know a lot of comics that are dudes that aren't great looking that make $100 a year and they ain't going to Puerto Rico. They're working at a truck stop.
Yeah, no, I'm taking 4 a.m. flights and 2-hour buses to JFK that cost me $11.
But yet complain to come to Astoria, literally 20 minutes by train from where she lives.
Yeah,
this
but you ain't taking me to Puerto Rico. Let's get serious about that.
You haven't even asked yet.
So it's all relative. No, I mean, but here, I am of the mindset, as I think a lot of us are, maybe to our detriment, but like, listen, if we died tomorrow, like I say this constantly because I do get hit up a lot about what do you do? How do you live this life? And I'm like, look, I'm a very...
You don't tag your sponsor? Is that what you're trying
my
to say?
My friend. No, listen, my friend said, if you ever do an hour special, call it strategic. I've never known a person in my life that used the word strategic or strategy more than you ever. And it's so true. Like, I haven't...
What's your background in that, though? Do you have a business background?
I do. I'm a Wall Street person. So,
oh,
yeah.
Okay. This
yeah,
makes
yeah.
more sense. All right. Okay.
Yeah, yeah. So, I mean, I have a discipline that I don't use right this second.
Yeah.
I mean, I day trade and do basic shit.
Yeah. You know what's up.
But yeah, I mean, honestly, I want to have a good life. And for us, we don't ever know what if we are going to hit it or if we are going to...
I'm going to tell everybody right now. Comedy should be your supplemental income. I mean, I know there's some guys, a handful of guys that make their full living and a great living.
Yeah.
But even guys I know who have been on Letterman twice, who've been doing it 25 years.
Yeah.
They're road dogs.
Right.
They can't not go on the road every weekend.
Every weekend.
And it's not a great life. People go, it's just so exciting. You're on the road. No, it's not. Like, get an acting gig. That's why people need to get on.
You gotta get on
TV. Supplemental thing.
But that's what I was saying, getting back to being bad on paper. So, you know, you try to date people outside the industry and they're like, cool, let's, you know, I'll take you to dinner this weekend. I'm like, oh, fuck no.
I can't.
Fridays and Saturdays. No, I'm never. That's off limits. Yes, you're going to see me on Instagram with 1,000 dudes always. Yes, I'm probably going to make out with 1 or 2 comics a weekend. I won't take them home.
Yeah.
But that's just life. You know, that's how life is. You got to be fine with that. Most people are not. That's okay.
So you want an open relationship.
I want somebody to understand it at the end of the day.
Are you cool with your man going out there? And if he happens to make out with somebody, it is what it is?
If it's part of what you're doing, again, I'll be the first to say, I mean, image is a thing. This is going to sound so douchey to people that aren't in it. It isn't about, and I don't go out and seek it. Like,
No, that's what I'm saying. I mean, just a side note for you, side. I have someone that has dealt with me, and not even dealt, she's embraced what I am.
Right, exactly.
So she has understood things about me. And people look at partners like that, oh, well, is she like some weak, fucking weak sauce bitch? No, she's actually pretty secure with herself, and she's picked me, and we picked each other, and that's what it is. So is that what you're trying to say?
And when I say comic, understand, again, if you watch my Instagram at all, you know most of my life is women. And I get hit up a lot about that, and, well, why are you a lesbian? What do you do? And it's like, you know, none of that matters. I like to be around beautiful people.
Yeah.
Who doesn't? I never understand people that don't appreciate beautiful women, but I'm also of the mindset.
So you're not bisexual, but you appreciate some breasts.
Who doesn't?
You'll touch them, you'll make out, maybe suckle them.
Yeah, sure. Especially if they're screaming whiskey. All day, every day. But you gotta have somebody that gets it. You know, it's a flirtation business in general. It behooves you to be a single person, even if you're not, to not run around talking about I know the comics that do that, and I'm like, if I'm honest with you, that's a piece of why you're not further along. It's sad, but you have to figure out the game. And buck it as much as you can, because I also appreciate people that are like, I will not kowtow to this. Just like I told you, I don't dress down. I don't call myself a nerd. I don't talk about...
It's about having principle and being true to yourself. People respect that always, no matter which way you're going with it.
But if I wasn't such a flirtatious person by nature, and I am, so it's not me going out and being like, oh, maybe if I fuck this guy on Comedy Central. I don't do that. And if anything, I'm very much the opposite. I stay far away from famous comics because I not that I expect them to be dirtbally about it, but err on the side of they are. There's a very good chance that they're not after you for the right reasons. And also, it just looks bad to your peers. It does. People judge you for that. I would just rather go the other way. So the last couple comics I've dated, again, not from this scene, and we were peers. They were not more famous than me. We were both coming up. But the issue is, then when you start coming up more and having more success, that's hard.
It's bound to happen.
It's going
to
happen with one of you. It's going to happen for one of you. And so the other person has to think that's great and see that as an opportunity for them to do better. And that just wasn't the case in both of my relationships, so they didn't last. And that made me reevaluate and go, okay, that's probably not the thing. Maybe like is not a thing. So let's do opposites attract and try that kind of thing.
So you're doing Wall Street guys now?
You know, I did Wall Street for a minute, but that's also tough.
Yeah, they're awful too.
I think New York in general is a hard place to date.
Yeah.
I think LA is worse, if I'm honest.
Yeah, no, it is.
But you know, you're going to, if you're open to finding the right person, you will. I mean, you absolutely will.
And you're not open.
Oh, I'm very open
to finding the right person.
To finding the right person.
You're going to flirt with them all until you find the right one.
I'm a flirtatious person.
And then when the right one comes along, you let them know, hey, I might flirt with some other guys, but you're the right one.
When I say flirt with, I mean openly, very publicly.
Yeah, you've been flirting with me. You've been very professional.
I mean, yeah, but the mics are on.
My
wine glass has been empty for at least 10 minutes. So you're like the worst host I've ever had.
I'm actually busy right now.
I'm French Irish. It's so rude. Actually, can you take this for a minute? I'm going to grab the wine. I'll be right back. No, but yeah, I am. I'm just flirtatious by nature. I would be regardless. I can't help it. I don't want
it. So am I. I have a lot of problems.
I don't want to. But that's not the same as, in case flirtation needs defining, flirtation for me is, again, like, you know, being around somebody, being smiley, being giggly, giving a hug, giving a kiss cheek, whatever.
Yeah.
You know, it's not going home with someone else at the end of the day. That's a deal breaker.
So you're prude, but you're...
So I'll tease you till your balls fall off.
Your balls will be
heavy. But
you're
going to have the best time till you realize your balls are about to fall off.
Until you realize nothing's ever going to
happen.
Absolutely.
You're going to love me until you want to never talk to me again.
I understand how you have to kind of make that clear because... You do use words like strategic.
I strategically fuck these people, but it doesn't mean anything to me. I make them wear a condom, so it's like it doesn't count. That's how you know it's not love.
I was wondering for a minute, like, why is she going to this preamble about why she's in... And I go, oh, yeah, the words strategic, produced, promote, these things came up. Of course she has to do that.
How would you describe Walker? Cold-ass bitch.
Strategic.
Super manipulative strategist.
Disassociated with emotion.
Yeah.
Plug where you're going to be. All your shit. Your Instagram, your Twitter shows. Do it up. Let them know.
I am I'm Trophy Comic on Twitter and Instagram. And like I said, January is a great month for me. I will be producing that Film War Room show. You know, Film War is 19th and 10th. It's a super badass restaurant and bar with a gorgeous private room where we do the show. So it's not a typical club or dive bar. We don't just throw shit up in a comic book store and, you know, a curtain in the backdrop. It's gorgeous. Cocktails are amazing. Mm-hmm. They have the best oysters in the city. Blah, 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 blah. But the most important piece is that it's all headliners. So legit, every single comic on that show headlines, tours, is on TV. So it's a badass fucking show where you can get a great meal and a great cocktail too.
Awesome.
So that's Fridays in January. So we're back starting the 15th. And it's an 8 o'clock show. It'll be dope as fuck. I am personally all over the place in January. I have like 16 things going on. Let's see what they are. Let's see if any of them are worth mentioning. I'm just kidding. They all are. They all are. They're all equally.
If you want to go to our next sit down with another female comic to let her know she's shit, she'll be booking that in February.
On January 8th, I'll be at the Cutting Room at 9. That's going to be super dope. That's a humongous venue. I'm doing that with New Comic All Stars. That's produced by David Suarez. He's a super rad dude. That's probably the next big thing here. I'm in South Carolina on the road for a minute doing some shows. But yeah, so Fillmore would be the main thing for me to plug that month. So it's 15th, 22nd, 29th. They're all killer shows with just insane lineups, and you can find the info about that on my Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, everything. And yeah, Haze, awesome. No E required. Stop trying to add
Yeah, no E. It's just Haze.
Haze, like roll baby. In the H-A-Y-S. Yeah. No extra vowels needed. Don't buy a vowel. Don't do it.
Well, thank you for coming on.
Yeah.
This was fun.
This was very fun.
I usually never have anybody on that I haven't at least spoke with before. And this was the first time we've ever had an at-length conversation. I think it went very well.
All right.
How are you feeling about that?
I feel pretty dope.
Yeah.
I got to say, I had some wine. I'm good with that. Yeah. I got a chance to alienate any women that were on the fence about liking me, so that's good. Any dude that thought they had a shot is probably also defriending me.
I think there's some guys ready to roll now.
As they listen to your podcast,
they want
to
see if they can turn that flirt into a fuck.
Yeah, they're like, no, but I bagged her, though.
I will get a flirt into a fuck.
I'm the guy. I am the exception to that rule. I've heard that I've had sex with many famous people that I have walked down the street with for 5 seconds.
Let's turn these mics off so I can figure out who you gave a handjob to on the street.
I'm dead serious. The comedy is so fucking crazy. You get seen on the street with a person, and I get texts like, oh,
if you were ugly, then it wouldn't be that.
Listen, hey, look, don't.
If you were ugly, they wouldn't be saying she's fucking homeboy. She'd be like, oh, she must be interning for him.
Yeah, but exactly that, right?
He must be picking up his clothes.
I gotta, but why can't it be the reverse? Like, why is it always gotta be me? Because I'm trying to sleep my way to the top or whatever. And just to clarify, I want to quickly clarify.
You're terrible in bed. Just tell him your vagina's broken. You're terrible in bed, so you can't sleep your way
to
the top.
I'm missing a nipple. I had my vagina surgically closed years ago. None of this is going to work to your favor. But in addition to all those things, I want it known. That's like, hey, listen, I'm a waiter. I heard you're also a waiter. Let's fuck. And can you get me a better job as a waiter? That's like fucking a comic.
You think so?
Yes.
Well, no, there's certain comics, they don't help.
They're not gonna fucking help
you. We're known for non-helpers.
We're not gonna fucking help you. What are you talking about?
Even really famous, the only guy I know of, and I apologize for anybody out there, I don't mean to just specifically say no one helps. Maybe there are guys, but I know Bill Burr is very helpful to his people, which is really great. But since Rodney Dangerfield, I can't recall one guy.
Wait, hold on. Can I back up for a second? I'm not talking about not fucking Bill Burr. I'm not retarded. I'm not dumb as nails.
Oh, you're saying in general, there's a lot of middle level guys throwing balls at your door, hoping you open the door.
If you're gonna fuck a comic, yes, fuck the comic that's like
number
the hottest shit ever.
Yeah, okay.
Fuck that guy. Do it. Absolutely.
Oh, so you're not opposed to fucking somebody, just strategically.
Now listen, if I'm going to there's got to be a strategy involved.
That's Walker. Go follow Walker at Trophy Comic. You will not be disappointed. She has some awesome stuff she puts out. And if you're in the New York City area or wherever, make sure you go watch her shows. She's really funny. And I want to thank Walker for coming on. Walker, baby girl, thank you so much. Had a lot of fun with you. Quite the team. All right. And that's our show for this week. It has been a wonderful, wonderful week.
I'm glad that you got to share a little bit of it with me. I want you guys to go out and enjoy your week, and make sure you follow me at Josh Accardo. I want to give a shout out to, who are we syndicated on now? Still RadioIO.com. Thanks, RadioIO, for getting the word out there and playing the show a lot, and all your thousands upon thousands of listeners. It's awesome. iTunes, of course, Podomatic, standard shit. So I want to thank everybody out there for that. And I want you guys to all keep coming out to the shows. It's great meeting people that hear the podcast. But yeah, I love you guys. I hope you're all doing very well, and I'll catch you on the flipper set.